Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 352. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's going good. I can't believe November is almost behind us. I think the next time we record, it will be December, which is wild. Hopefully the off-season moves pick up soon, because it's been a little slow, but I don't think to any surprise there. It will slowly start, and then we get a couple big free agent signings, and hopefully the rest kind of trickles in. But yeah, I'm ready for some free agent moves, some trades, and get this offseason rolling.
Yes, it's funny. I saw someone post that October dragged on, but November's doing 75 and a 35 or something like that. Well, I'm like, yeah, it's very true. Because yeah. Like, we just started November. Physically, we were just out in Arizona, and that was like 3.5 weeks ago at this point. Actually, yeah, we 3 weeks as of right now, when we were both, you know, kind of going back to the East Coast. But yeah, the hot stove's trying. I mean, we had a little Jonathan India for Brady Singer trade. That's kind of fun on multiple levels. But yeah, I think we're waiting for that first domino to fall, and that might be Juan Soto. Or I guess Sasaki can't sign for another couple of months or a month and a half or whatever it is. And probably going to be Soto, and then see where everything else falls into place. But yeah, that hot stove is trying. I'm sure we'll get some soon here, and we'll talk about it when it does happen. But until then, we still got some fun episodes here. Another Dynasty Buy-Sell episode today. This one's hitters. Go back and check out pitchers if you missed that. That was last episode, episode 351. Only doing the one again this week because of the holiday. I know people probably aren't going to be listening to any baseball podcasts during Thanksgiving, or maybe you are. Yeah, maybe you are. But we'll do our two episodes again next week, so week after Thanksgiving, starting up with our Dynasty and Prospect Ranking Series. That's always fun. But again, another episode of Buy Sell today. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I'm at EricCross04. And over on Blue Sky, at Chris Clegg and at EricCrossMLB, followed by all the other stuff after that. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty and Prospect rankings. And make sure to check out all the great content over at RotoBaller. Use that code TOOLSHED at checkout. Get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. All right, as we always do with these buy-sell episodes, we will start with the sells. We got 4 sells, 2 each, and then 6 buys, so 3 each. 10 total players on the docket today. And Chris, kick us off.
All righty. Yeah, I mean, the sells are never easy. I never want to, like, call out a sell, but it is important, I guess, to think about players that his value may have peaked. And this player that I'm going to start with, I think, probably has reached peak value. And that's Luis Garcia Jr. with the Nationals, who had a fantastic year, by the way. I like Luis Garcia a lot. But Garcia, career best year, 18 home runs, stole 22 bags. Put up a 282, 318, 444 slash line for by far a career best season that I mentioned. 24 years old, so you look at the profile and you say, all right, like, this is a guy that probably can keep counting on. But when I look at Garcia, I think there's a couple interesting things about the profile. One is the stolen bases. I understand the rules are a little different. this year, but Garcia did steal more this year than he ever has at any point by far in his career. Stole 22 bags. Previous year was 9 in 482 plate appearances, so it was nearly equal amount. And he stole 3 the year before in nearly 400 plate appearances. Also, well below average sprint speed. Again, I don't think sprint speed has a lot to do with it, but I also look at this kind of profile, and it's like, okay, he's one that benefited from the Nationals running. Like, the lineup wasn't great at points in the year, and he got those opportunities. Is he going to continue to get the opportunities as the lineup gets better? We obviously know James Wood's now there. Dylan Cruz is now there. You know, they're going to continually get better, in my opinion. And so I do wonder if the opportunities are less and less for Garcia. He stole just one bag in September last year. Again, that's a one-month sample, so I don't want to put a lot of stock in that at all. But I do think that's worth noting is the fact that Garcia stole just so many more bases we had ever seen at any point of his career. Actually, more than he had his entire major league career prior to that year. And he never ran much in the minors. So I think a lot of the value came from him stealing. Now, 18 home runs is valuable, and the .282 batting average is certainly, you know, that's a nice boost as well. He scored 58 runs. That's a concern. I think that'll improve as the lineup gets better. But again, I look at the contact rates. They're good. I mean, they're well above average, but he chases a lot. He's a free swinger. It shows in that OBP. You have very low OBP there. Hits the ball on the ground a lot, too. I think Luis Garcia is going to have a good year again this year. I might peg him more for 15 home runs and 10 stolen bases with a .270 average. So in that case, I do think that Garcia is probably a decent sell. Not that I don't like him, not that I don't think he's going to be good, but because I think his value's peaked. His ADP over on FBC is 129 right now. He's going as high as 86 in a draft. That's really high. I think that it might be time to try to trade Luis Garcia. So he's my first sell here. Kind of reluctantly, because I do like him, but I do think it's probably time to see what you can get for him.
Yeah, I think you put it really well, because I in the general sense, I like Luis Garcia as well. And I think when you look at the second base position, it falls off pretty freaking hard after him. So I'll probably have some shares this year in redraft. But yeah, I don't see his value like going up. I don't see him becoming like a 25-25 guy all of a sudden or anything like that. So yeah, I think that was definitely well said there. I will also keep it with the Washington Nationals for my first sell here and go CJ Abrams. I mean, he is an enigma at this point. Obviously, there's good upside there, but we've seen the downside, which is almost more prevalent than the upside is. You look at what he did this past year. He was really good in April, 295, 373, 619 slash line, 7 home runs, 7 steals. May, he was terrible and not even startable, 205, 216, 304, 2 home runs, 1 steal. June, and again, another extremely dominant month, 374, 464, 663, 4 home runs and 6 steals. And then back down below 200 for 2 straight months, 177, 288, 284 in July, and 187, 250, 319 in August. And he was fine in September, 271, 308, 458, but that also came with him getting benched and then optioned down to the minor leagues because of that whole staying out until, was it 8 a.m., 4 a.m.? I forget what it was. Staying up way too late or too early, depending on how you want to put that, at the casino. So a lot of downside with Abrams as well. But yeah, obviously, he still came up with 20 home runs and 31 steals overall. Second straight year with, you know, at least 18 home runs and at least 31 steals after going 18-47 the year before that. But he's still getting value. Like, I still see him ranked as like a top 25 or close to it dynasty guy. And I just don't think he's ever gonna reach that. Again, he's not bad. He's still, you know, easily top 100 player, you know, probably even in the 50 to 75 range. But the perceived value still seems to be a lot higher than that. And that, again, as we've said 1,001 times on this podcast, perceived value is king in dynasty leagues with trading. And I think you can still get an elite price tag for Abrams. You know, maybe trade him for, you know, a guy that's, you know, back in top 100 guy, and then you probably can get another close to a top 100 guy with that. So I'd probably try to go that route. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to all of a sudden become a 270-plus hitter. I mean, he's kind of settled in that 245 range. Yeah, I think there can be a higher average than that. Contact skills have been dancing around average. Plus, he's got the good speed, as we all know. But I don't believe he's all of a sudden going to become, again, a 270 hitter. He doesn't walk that much. OBP is never going to be good. You know, he's probably going to always be below like 320, 325 or so. So, again, good player, but gets valued as an elite player, and I'm just not there, and it's just too much up and down with him. I mean, what if those two dominant months from last year weren't dominant? What if they were just good months? And yeah, you could say the same thing on the other end. What if he wasn't terrible in the three other months? Sure, you absolutely can say that as well, but there's just so much volatility, so much inconsistency in the profile that I don't want to, you know, value him and have him as like a building block for my dynasty team, which is how he gets valued. So I think you can still get a pretty good price tag for him. And yeah, he'll have the months where he looks like a top 20 guy. He already has, but then he'll follow that up with some bad months too. So for all those reasons, I will have CJ Abrams as my first sell. We are done with the Nats. Just two sells on the Nats. Chris, who's your other sell here?
All right. And this one's tough too. And that's Pete Crow Armstrong. PCA ended the year really solid down the stretch. He had 10 home runs on the year with 27 stolen bases. And I know a lot of value is coming from his ability to steal bags. And obviously from a real-life standpoint, PCA is going to be on the field because he's very good in center field. Like, we're looking at a gold glove caliber player. He does everything extremely well. He's very fast. He gets incredible jumps and reads. I mean, he put up 14 outs above average, and he didn't even play all year, which is crazy. So it's a good arm strength. Like, he provides a lot of value in the field. Unfortunately, that doesn't really help you in fantasy. I get that 27 steals is super enticing, but I really fear that PCA is going to hurt you in several areas. You know, the power is not great. I think starting there is important. It's below average power for sure. His hard hit rate was 30th percentile. Bat speed's not good. He doesn't barrel the ball up all that well. And I was curious because I wondered, like, he went on that hot stretch, and I was like, okay, you know, his price tag is going through the roof, and I wondered if the metrics kind of supported that. You know, over his final 2 months, looking at it from August forward, we're looking at 284 average, a 466 slug, 7 of those home runs came over the final 2 months. And so I was curious if the batted ball data had really changed. And when you look at the StatCast data, it actually did a little bit. The barrel rate went up. His barrel rate in those final 2 months was 10%, and he had an 89.7 mile an hour average EV and a 42% hard hit rate. So those were encouraging signs to see, at least, that he did make improvements. But here's the concerning thing. He also saw the contact rates kind of dip. The chase rate, he's running near 40% chase rate, like pretty much his entire career. And in the month of September, things got really ugly with contact. 65% contact, 72% end zone contact. That's a really low mark, and a 45% chase rate. It's almost like he was selling out a bit for power and sacrificing even more of the contact that already lacks. PCA's young. I mean, he'll turn 23 just before the season, but his price tag has gotten really high. I was actually surprised how high his ADP is over on the NFBC for redraft purposes. But typically, you know, we look at the ADP, and, you know, a lot of times dynasty value kind of follows that. He's going around pick 140, and I like PCA. I'm not sure in a 5x5 league, and, you know, points league, like, how valuable is he really going to be? So I get it. Speed is a huge boost, but I'm kind of tempted to sell Pete Crow Armstrong high here in dynasty leagues and see what you can get, because people kind of look at it and say, okay, former top prospect, picked it up, got things going, you know, he's still young. And yeah, all those things make sense. But yeah, I think that now might be the prime time to cash out and see what you can get. And sometimes it's always not always bad to sell high on a young player because they could have hit peak value. I'm not saying that that's the case with PCA, but I do think his value's very, very high.
You know, he's given me some Brenton Doyle vibes from this time last year. And it's not a direct comp, but, you know, Brenton Doyle was, you know, good speed, good defense, and then this year made leaps and bounds in terms of being a hitter, right? And then he got up to being, all right, now he's ranked as like a top 100, 150 guy. PCA is already getting ranked that way. And yeah, I get it. He was a much higher ranked prospect. But he needs to show me that he can make those same adjustments, because or else he's just going to be a low average guy. Maybe he gets you 10, 15 home runs. He'll give you the 25, 30 steals, whatever it may be. But yeah, there's a lot of questions that I need to see answered by PCA in 2025 before I want to invest, at least at the price tag he's currently going at. I will go with Ezekiel Tovar as my second sell. This is a guy I talked about out at First Pitch Arizona as well. And again, I think he's going to be a decent player. I mean, there's nothing in the profile that makes me think that he's going to stop being fantasy relevant, but we're getting to the point where he's in that top 100 discussion for overall value, and I just don't see that going up. It's kind of what Chris was saying with Luis Garcia. I mean, not saying he's a bad player, but just don't see that value going up from here. There's a lot of red flags in the profile. I mean, the power, it's around league average in terms of quality of contact, and obviously, being in Coors Field helps everything and helps give you that BABIP boost especially, but I don't see him going from 26 up, past 30 anytime soon. I mean, he's kind of maximized his power already, again, with, middle of the road quality of contact, but, good launch angle, good sweet spot. He hits at good angles, but you look at the rest of the profile. I mean, decent sprint speed, but he hasn't been running a whole lot. Only 6 steals last year in a year when steals were just up for everybody. I mean, Chris talked about Luis Garcia having his steals go up. My favorite example was Matt Chapman, who had 11 steals in his first, 7 or 8 years? I forget how long he's been around. And then he had 15 last year. It's just like everyone was stealing bags. And Tovar wasn't. He had the 6. The walk rate stays low and even gets lower. He's gone from 5.7 to 4.1 to 3.3%. K rate has been kind of going the opposite way, slowly trickling up, 28.8% last year, and just way, way, way too aggressive, 44.1% chase rate. Contact rate overall is 66.5%. Zone was about a little under 78%. I mean, he just is so incredibly aggressive. First pitch swing rate, 50%. That's a full 20% above league average, which is just a hair under 30%. Swing rate, 62.3%, which is about 16% above league average. I don't see the average going up. I see it even going down. 269 last year, probably closer to 253 or even lower than that. He is just so easily exploitable with how aggressive he is. And, he'll still hit you, probably 20 home runs and give you 5-10 steals. But I just see the average going down. I see the overall value going down. He's never going to be an OBP guy. Never, ever, ever going to be an OBP guy. So I see that perceived value dropping this year at probably a good 50-plus spots. Probably be more like a 150 to 200 guy in terms of perceived value, which is kind of where I think he is now as opposed to being a top 100 guy. So I would be looking to sell Tovar right now. He's still only 23, coming off a good year, so I think you can get, like right around the top 100 price tag for him, I think I would definitely look to move him in Dynasty Leagues. All right, let's go over to the buys now. 6 of those total. Chris, who's your first buy?
All right, here we go. Here's the fun ones, the buys.
Yes.
And I'm going to start off with Cary Carpenter of the Detroit Tigers, who he keeps getting better and better, and it doesn't seem like he's being valued appropriately, in my opinion. I get there's still some scares about platoons here and how the Tigers might use him. Carpenter just turned 27 years old. He's consistently, as I mentioned, gotten better. 2023, he hit 20 home runs in just 459 plate appearances, by the way, with a 278, 340, 471 slash. Contact was solid. He's a little bit aggressive, chases a little bit. But this year, while he did miss time with injury, which is probably the biggest concern that I have with Carpenter, is just the injuries. But you look what he did, 296 plate appearances. He had 18 home runs That was an awesome thing to see. He cut his ground ball rate tremendously, a drop by 7.5 percentage points. That's a huge drop. And it all went to fly balls. The home run to fly ball rate has continually been healthy his entire career. And this is, again, Comerica's not a great place to hit, but his entire career, 18.8% home run to fly ball, 18.5%. This year, 20.9%. And when he was hitting fly balls at a 10% higher rate than he did in 2023, naturally a lot more balls are going to leave the yard. We're looking at top of the scale barrel rate, 17.7% barrel rate. That is like 100th percentile for hitters. Really, really good barrel rate. Consistently good launch angles, a sweet spot rate of 40%, incredibly high, a 46% hard hit rate. Like, he just checks all the boxes. And yeah, he's a bit aggressive, but he had a 32% chase rate. That's fine. Contact rate of 70%. It's a little lower than you would like, but again, given his aggressiveness, it can play. He's been as consistent as can be from a zone contact standpoint, 81.5% in 2022, 81.5% in 2023. 81.6% in 2024. So you can count on him making contact in the zone. You can count on him putting the ball out of the yard. That's what you get. How much does he run? He stole six bases, 2023, zero last year. I think you might can get five out of him over a full healthy season. Wouldn't surprise me at all. So here's the question. Are you concerned about a platoon with Kerry Carpenter? I'm not particularly concerned. Okay, it's easy to look and say the numbers are really bad against lefties. Yeah, I get that. He also had 28 at-bats against lefties last year. Has it been an issue his whole career? Yes, but go back to 2023 when he actually had a somewhat healthy sample. It was much more palatable when you look at as far as the slash line goes. You know, versus lefties in 2023, it was a 235 average and a 333 OBP. I mean, it's still a lot lower than you'd like to see. He actually struck out much less against lefties in 2023 than he did against righties. So that's also kind of interesting. I don't think he needs to play every day. If you remember Josh Lowe's 2023 season, the Rays kind of shielded him from lefties, and he put up an awesome season. I think if Carpenter plays every day against righties, his numbers are going to be tremendous because you don't have that negative detriment that could happen against lefties. And there's definitely 550 plate appearances out there against righties, maybe even more. So I think Carpenter, I mean, sure, you can say he's never done it before. He's never had more than 460 plate appearances in a year. 100% correct on that. Got to stay healthy. 2023, he did have 40 in AAA, so that puts you up over 500. If he gives you 500 plate appearances this year, I think he's going to have an awesome season. I think he can go more than 500. I think Carpenter's a really good buy. His ADP is still pretty low, surprisingly. And I think there's a lot of value to be had by trading for one Kerry Carpenter right now in a dynasty league.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the splits things. I was going to ask you how much that concerned you. I think that's everyone's reservation right now with Carpenter. But yeah, he absolutely mashes. That Detroit lineup, it's getting pretty damn good. What a good young talent in that lineup for sure. All right, my first buy, I'm going to the AL East with Jordan Westberg, guy that I've liked for a good bit now and had him in a lot of leagues last year, especially in Dynasty Leagues. I think I had him in probably at least half my Dynasty Leagues, and that was looking great until, you know, the injury, and it cost him about a third of a season. Limited to 447 plate appearances, but 18 home runs, 6 steals, slash 264, 312, 481 in those 447 plate appearances. I mean, he was pacing to go, you know, 25, 26, 27 home runs, around 10 steals, you know, around, you know, low to mid 80s in runs, maybe even in the 90s for RBI. He was pacing to have a pretty damn good year. 25 years old, dual eligibility, second base, third base, which I love because that means corner and middle infield. We'll see how long that keeps up. But, you know, the metrics for Westberg are pretty solid across the board. You look at a barrel rate just a hair under 12%. Average EV was 91.1 miles an hour. Hard hit rate 46.1%. Doesn't really walk a lot, but doesn't strike out much either. Had a better than league average strikeout rate. Contact rates, again, were tick below major league average, but not detrimental. And then given the fact that he is, you know, above average power guy and above average or better speed guy, he had a 91st percentile sprint speed. Now he can keep that average respectable. I think in that 260 to 270 range where he's kind of been, I think is a fair expectation of what you can expect from him going forward. And then I think everything he was doing last year is legit. I think this is a 25-plus homer bat, and they're moving the fences back in left field because they realize, oh, crap, we went too far without that moving that fence out. So that'll definitely be a nice little help there for Westberg and all the other righties in that Baltimore lineup. So I guess, you know, if he went out and hit like 31 home runs next year, wouldn't shock me in the least. I don't think it's going to be a 35 to 40, but I think you could see some years where he gets in the low 30s or, you know, at least up into the upper 20s with double digit steals as well. And, you know, good, you know, 80 plus runs, 80 plus RBI, and, you know, a solid average plus that eligibility, you know, in a good lineup. I mean, he's a really good young player. And, you know, I think he could be, obviously he's not going to be better than Gunnar, but, you know, out of all these young prospects that all kind of came up over the last couple of years, wouldn't surprise me if the only one better out of those guys to come up was Gunnar. And I think he could be long-term a better fantasy asset than Holiday, then Cowser, then Kobe Mayo, etc. So, I love Jordan Westberg. I think the injury kind of kept the value in check, kept that price tag in check. I mean, I think early ADP has him going in like the 110 or something range. And I think this is a top 50 player moving forward. So I would definitely go out and scoop up Jordan Westbrook while you can before that perceived value catches up to where I think it will be. So Westbrook is my first buy. Back over to Chris. Who you got next?
I like Mason Wynn a lot as a potential buy. He had a really good year this past season. I was actually a little surprised that he didn't get a Rookie of the Year vote. I thought that was odd. I know that the NL was absolutely stacked, but he had a really good season and kind of sneaky. And we know that he's incredibly valuable in the field, and that obviously matters in, you know, Rookie of the Year real life conversation. But he's consistently gotten better with the bat too, and I think that's something to watch out for here. Is Mason Wynn taking a step forward with his power in 2025? Yeah, I think that that's a realistic option and thing that could happen. We look and say, like, well, how much power do you project Mason Wynn to get? He started getting more in 2023. Actually, we saw the exit velocity start increasing when he was in AAA, and he made some kind of notable strides. He had an 88-mile-an-hour average EV back in AAA in 2023, and then he jumped to the majors and it kind of dipped a little bit to 86 miles an hour. But this year, back up to 87 miles an hour average EV, and he put up a new career high max of 111, which is pretty encouraging, in my opinion, to see a young player like this continue to take a step forward with exit velocities. His ninth percentile EV of 103.5 is right at MLB average, so, you know, it's not low by any means. And I think that's another encouraging thing to look at, especially when you make as much contact as Mason Wynn does. You know, running very strong contact rates this year. The end zone mark, 91% according to Fangraphs. That's very strong. You love to see that. He did chase a little more this year, but it was a 30% chase rate. So you're not overly high. I think MLB average was like 29% this year. So you're hovering right around there. And the contact rate overall being above 80% is encouraging. You look at that. MLB average, I think, was like 75%. So he's well above average from a contact perspective. And again, Mason Wynn, 22 years old. Like, this is somebody that I think is going to progressively get better. He'll be 22 all the way up until right before opening day. This is somebody that's continually hit the ball harder. We saw the progression that he made last year. He's got some speed to burn. He's going to steal you some bases. Only 11 last year. Wouldn't be shocked to see that number rise. I think that there's a legitimate chance that Mason Wynn this year is a 20 home run bat that steals 15 bases. And he's going to give you a good average as well. Like, you look at the kind of batted ball distribution that he has, plus the amount of contact he makes, I think you're going to see that BABIP be a little bit higher than the 303 that he ran this year. I understand that's right around MLB average, but I do think that given Mason Wynn's speed and the amount of contact, that could be a little bit higher. So, all that to say, there's another gear here for Mason Wynn. And I think you see it this year. He's locked in as a shortstop, obviously, in St. Louis. The glove's incredible. He's going to play every day. I look at him and think that, yeah, there's certainly something here. I know he had a cyst removed in his hand after the season ended. That may be another thing. Like, how long was that bothering him? I have no idea. So, like, this guy played through injury all season. That's also another thing. It's like, all right, well, that's kind of telling that he had this pretty good year and had a cyst in his hand, which, I don't know if you know, hands matter a lot for baseball. So he's going to be totally fine this offseason. It's said to impact nothing during the offseason, so I wouldn't worry a bit about that. But, yeah, I'm very in on Mason Wynn this year.
Yeah, and he's probably going to lead off a good amount, too, yeah. Because, you know, they don't really have anybody else to lead off. I mean, he's not like a perfect leadoff guy, but he's the best one they got for sure. So, good amount of runs scored coming as well. All
yeah,
right.
He scored 85 last year. I think he'll score 100 this year.
He scored That's 85 last year?
Yeah.
What? Man, that was, yeah, he had a sneaky good year. It just sucks. You know, if he was in the AL, you think he would have been a finalist if he was in the AL?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, given how good his glove was, like, I think you have to say that he was as valuable as Colton Cowser was. Like, Cowser's bat a little more valuable. Mason Wynn put up a 3.6 WAR season. And I understand a lot of that came from defense, but, yeah, that's still a 3.6 WAR season as a rookie. That's pretty stout. I think Cowser was probably – Cowser was at 4, but still, I think you could have made an argument for Wynn being an AL finalist for sure.
Yeah, over like maybe over Austin Wells.
Yeah,
yeah. He just happened to be in the National League and one of the most stout rookie of the year races we've had in quite some time. True. I mean, I got like Imanaga was even a finalist and how good he was. You know, Schwellenbach, etc. So yeah, it was just misfortune of having his rookie year be the same year as Jackson Merrill, Jackson Chourio, and Paul Skeens. But I am going to keep it in the National League Central. Go over to the Cincinnati Reds. You know, people are probably tired of hearing me tweet about this guy at this point, but going Matty McClain here, he definitely fits. I love Matt McClain. Is he a perfect player? Absolutely not. But is he a fun player for fantasy? Absolutely. I mean, obviously, can't go off of anything last year because he had the injury and he was out for the entire year. But we saw him out in the AFL. He was hitting the ball hard, and the ball sounded different off his bat. You could tell like, he was the best player out there. So you just got to kind of go off of what we saw from him in 2023, which was pretty damn good. It was, a near, I think he was on like a 27, 24 pace or something like that. He had 16 home runs and 14 steals in 403 plate appearances while slashing 290, 357, 507. Now, I do not think Matt McClain is a 290 hitter. Even in Great American Ballpark, where, you get that massive BABIP boost, I do not think he's going to be a 290 hitter going forward. But, I think he could be, 270, 280. I think his contact rates were below average, but only by about 2, 3% both in zone and overall. Chase rate was actually better than league average. Like, there's not a lot of bad metrics there. He's, once you kind of encapsulate everything in terms of contact and approach, overall probably a little bit below average, but given his power, his speed, and Great American Ballpark, I think 270 range is still absolutely in play. Yeah, like the K rate's a little high, but not 28.5% isn't, that terrible anymore in this day and age. Yeah, it's below average, but again, power is above average here. He had a barrel rate right around 11%. Average EV 89.5 miles an hour. Hard hit rate 42.5 miles an hour. He had a 90th percentile sprint speed. He hits the ball at ideal angles, had a 39.6% sweet spot rate, which was among the best in baseball back in 2023. And I think just him missing, the entire 2024 year, that perceived value has been really kept in check. The price tag still isn't terribly high. I think right now perceived value is probably maybe overall top 100-ish. And price tag in that same range. And kind of like what I was saying with Jordan Westbrook, I think McClain could be a top 50 guy moving forward as well. And you look at, he's going to be probably back at second base. We were kind of wondering, Chris and I, when we were out in Arizona, because they were using him in center field, where he's played a bit in the past as well. Not like it's a new position for him, but given they had India and Ellie at second and short at the time, all right, he's probably outfielder now, but now that India is with the Kansas City Royals, maybe we see McLean back at second base and have that dual eligibility. He's got to lose shortstop eligibility, obviously, because Ellie De La Cruz. But second base and outfield is still pretty solid. This could be a guy that pushes 25-25 with a solid average and, you know, it's good five-category production. So, yeah, so I'm looking to buy Matt McLean wherever I can. All right, we got one more buy each, and Chris's last buy is a pretty fun one.
Let's get wild. Let's buy Joe Adell. And I didn't think I'd say that, but Adell's been kind of interesting. He made improvements last year. Now, were they huge improvements? I mean, not really, but they were noticeable enough where he put together a pretty solid year. His season did end a bit early due to an oblique injury in mid-September. But again, we're talking about somebody that's still 25 years old and will be on opening day. There's always been a lot of intrigue with Joe Adell's upside. We're looking at someone that hit 20 home runs last year in the majors with 15 stolen bases. That's valuable in of itself. And we saw the contact rates improve substantially. It was like, okay, like this is really interesting, Joe Adell. What are you doing here? On pitches in the zone, we saw that rate increase pretty significantly, according to Fangraphs, up to 81.9% zone contact, overall 72% contact. Both those marks are up quite a bit from previous seasons, so you like to see that. And when he connected, he did damage. So we know Joe Adell can hit the ball hard. He's got some of the best bat speed in baseball. His barrel rate was 12% last year. That's huge. Hard hit rate of 45%. Both those marks are 71st and 79th percentile, respectively. Now, there's obviously still a downside with Adell that he still whiffs a lot, even though he improved substantially. That was still a pretty big issue. He still gets hyper-aggressive at times and chases a good bit. But I do think what Adell did last year is worth noting. And seeing those contact improvements is like, all right, like I can kind of start to buy into it now that we've seen it over a large sample. And I was skeptical at first, like when he first started doing this, like, all right, is this actually going to stick? Because I had no reason to believe that. But you look kind of like month over month at the splits and it was like, all right, he's kind of improving every month. And, you know, he ended the year kind of rough in September, but again, it was five games. And obviously, I think the oblique was bothering him because you just kind of watch the results fall off and how that happened. But you look at the strikeout rates month to month, big improvement there. He had a good start to the year in April, but then May was 33% K rate, June 29.9, July 28.6, August 22.8%. Then a tiny sample in September, not really worth noting. But with that, we also saw some major improvements with other things like the average and OBP. And in August, he hit 277, which that's a good way to end your year. 277, 327, 489. It was by far his best month other than April, where he was on a tear. And, you know, there was more bad than good. Obviously, it weighed down his entire season. But I think this could be the year we finally see Joe Adell put it together. What does a fully put together season look like for Adell? I think that's still a major question mark, but we know he's got power. We know he's got some speed to burn. So that's pretty valuable for fantasy purposes. And I think his dynasty stock is like kind of non-existent for most people. And so it creates that buying opportunity where you have that chance. His early ADP is right around 300 on the FPC. I bet you could get him cheaper than that in a dynasty league, just kind of glancing at names around him. You know, I look at people who've been burned so much by Joe Adell. So they're like, why would I buy back in? Why would I believe this? And I think there's going to be the opportunity. Obviously, they got Jorge Soler. He's going to DH. They've signed quite a few players. Now, it's not big name players by any means, but I still think that there is going to be these opportunities and Adell's going to start from day one. So looking at that, you know, I think it's easy to project Adell to get 500 plus plate appearances if healthy, maybe even more than that. And why could he not give you 20 home runs again? Why could he not steal 15 bags again? And with his contact improvements, I would suspect that the batting average comes up. I mean, he ran a 244 BABIP last year. 244. And I mean, you look previous year. I mean, we're talking 300, 338. Like, Adell's ran good BABIPs for, or at least like league average BABIPs. This is not somebody that's just going to run a bad BABIP his entire career. So there's a major bounce back from that standpoint too. So, you know, Joe Adell, you know, let's get wild at the end of the show and take a shot on Adell.
Wait, so you're saying Kevin Newman and Scott Kingery are not big additions?
Yeah, yeah. At one point, maybe. At least for Scott Kingery.
Yeah, I was like, remember the Scott Kingery year when he was, you know, he flew up prospect rankings, he was the next big thing, he had that contract. He was a hot thing for a minute or two, but so I remember looking at this like a month or two ago, so I pulled it up real quick while Chris was talking. And obviously, this is not, you know, these are just three arbitrary metrics, but just they're fun ones. So you look at players that ranked in the 85th percentile or better in max EV, sprint speed, and bat speed. There's seven players total. Five were, you know, elite names: Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, O'Neill Cruz, Ellie De La Cruz, and Gunnar Henderson. And then the other two were Joe Adell and, oddly enough, Luke Rayleigh, which is probably the most random inclusion in the seven. But, yeah, obviously there's a lot of warts with Adell, but as Chris mentioned, yeah, he's starting to improve a little bit of those. So, yeah, definitely, I don't know. I was one of those guys that have been burned by Adell so much. But, yeah, given how low the price tag is, yeah, I definitely agree I'd take a shot on him. My last one, I'm going to go back to Cincinnati and go with Spencer Steer, who was having a pretty good year and then a really tough end to the season kind of put a damper on the year a little bit. I mean, look at he only hit 213 in July, 240 in August, and then only 165 in September, which was the real bad month that kind of plummeted that batting average. So overall, Steer did go 20 and 25, but hit 225 overall. But you know, so not, he's like a cheap guy to acquire. I think the ADP, you know, in redraft leagues is in that 110 to 120 range. But yeah, I have him ranked a good 40, 50 spots above that because I think that average is going to climb back up. And I don't think anything was fluky in terms of the power or the speed. You know, 25 is probably on the high end, sure, of what he's going to provide you in the stolen base department. But can he be in that upper teens, low 20s for steals? Sure. He's a solid runner. Not a burner, but a decent runner. And quality of contact was, you know, around league average. And, you know, pretty much almost league average in the dot in many of those metrics. But, you know, factor in Great American Ballpark, you know, I think he's going to still be like a, you know, low 20s home run guy, which he's been each of the last 2 years. He's combined for 43 home runs and 40 steals combined the last 2 years. But I think that average is going to tick up in a pretty healthy way. I mean, he hit 271 back in 2023, 225 last year. But we also saw his BABIP drop 58 points from 318 down to 260. I mean, he's got a solid approach, 11% walk rate, 20.9% strikeout rate last year. And he's above average contact as well. He's running 77% contact and 87% in zone, both of which, you know, that's better than league average by about 2% for overall and almost 5% for zone. I mean, chase rate is good. I mean, all these none of them stand out to you, but he's above average contact, above average approach, and around an average power speed blend. BABIP should stabilize some, especially given, you know, half his games in Great American Ballpark. So I think you're going to look at another 2020 year, but with probably a 270 or so average and get him back up in that top, you know, 70 or so range overall. So I think you're going to see a good near 50 spots overall jump in that perceived value. So you can get him for outside the top 100 price tag now. Don't think that'll be the case if you fast forward a year from now. So I will end with another Cincinnati Red and go with Spencer Steer. Real quick, though, Chris, I want to go rapid fire with you. We don't need to go super in-depth on these, as we already have with 10 guys, but do you think Bo Bichette, buy, sell, indifferent on Bo Bichette right now?
I have no good answer there. I don't know. I want to say buy, but I kind of not sure what to make of him at this point. So I'm a little indifferent. I wonder if a trade could kind of spark a revitalization, I guess, in his game. So maybe that's a possibility. We see him in a new place and, yeah, different context, and he gets things going. So I think a trade's possible. Like, there's definitely teams out there that need shortstops, and there's not enough shortstops in the market. So I wouldn't be shocked if Bo was traded. If he was traded, probably have a little more interest in him. Is this a contract year for him? It may not be, but I don't remember.
I can't remember either. Let me pull that up real quick, because it definitely might be. I can't remember what his contract was.
If it is, then there's some incentive right there.
Let's see. He is. Yep. Yeah, he'll be free agent after 2025. Yep.
Well, maybe that's a decent time to buy him. I also wonder, I'm pretty certain that he played through an injury. I'm pretty sure Jeff Zimmerman had reported that at one point. I don't remember exactly what the injury was, but I'm almost certain I remember reading that about Bo. So if that was the case, like, at least that explains a little bit about what happened. Obviously, he had a finger issue, but I think there was something else that lingered throughout the year too. So I probably lean more buy, I guess, than sell, because you know there's a decent floor batting average wise. And you just hope he gets some of that power back.
Yeah, I lead him by as well, because he's not as bad as he was. Maybe he's not, you know, first round, second round Bo ever again, but, you know, the contact skills were still pretty solid. And yeah, if you see that power return, yeah, I think he's going to be, you know, maybe more of a back of top 100 guy, but I don't think his value is even that high right now, given how bad of a year he had. So yeah, I will lean by as well. What about Mike Trout? He's another one that I was kind of just like perusing through my spreadsheet here for dynasty rankings. I don't know what to do with Mike Trout. I mean, obviously, and I think he could have another Mike Trout type of year, but do we ever see him staying healthy again? I mean, obviously, if you're rebuilding, you probably want nothing to do with Mike Trout. But, Chris, if you were a contending dynasty team right now, given, you know, how the perceived value of Mike Trout has dipped over the last couple of years, would you look to maybe buy low right now?
Maybe. I think, yeah, we keep saying, this is the lowest cost, like I feel like every offseason.
I know, right?
It keeps lowering. I mean, because he can't stay on the field. So, I mean, maybe, like, I have him in a league where I'm contending, and I'm, like, actively trying to trade him just because I'd rather take my losses and sell them for, like, 50 cents on the dollar and get something that I'm more confident in. But he is going to DH, like, next year. So, or at least they said that's a possibility. So he's going to DH more, and hopefully that keeps him healthy. Maybe in that case, we could buy back in. I think the metrics have still been, you know, good enough to support, like, a really good Mike Trout. Obviously, last 2 years we've seen the batting average, and I guess last 3 years really the batting average is going in the wrong direction. But the contact skills came back in the small sample this year. That was my worry in 2023. The contact skills just disappeared, but they were back this year, and we know Trout can hit for power. Not going to run. Surprisingly, he did steal six bases in 126 plate appearances this year. That was more than he had stolen. You'd have to go back. Combined 2020 through 2023, he stole six. So, weird to see. Maybe. I think maybe you take a chance on him, depending on your contention window and where you are.
Yeah, I really hope that they're true on that DH thing. Because if you put him back out in center field again, or just in the field in general, I don't feel as confident about it. But if I can get him, if I'm contending, if I can get him for, you know, price tag in the 150 or so range, I think I take a shot on him there. But, all right, that is going to wrap us up. Got a bunch of names there. Four sells. Again, we're Luis Garcia Jr., CJ Abrams, Pete Crow Armstrong, Ezekiel Tovar. The six buys, we got Kerry Carpenter, Jordan Westbrook, Mason Wynn, Matt McClain, Joe Adell, and Spencer Steer, then ended with a little Bo Bichette and Mike Trout talk. But that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope everyone has a great holiday, and we'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.